The reality is money is something that we all need in a sense because we all need to purchase food, to pay for rent, or mortgage, clothing, whatever it might be. But yet the Lord God has said in His Word that we're not to seek those things. So we see we're not to be seeking or yearning or loving money.
Thanks for joining us for this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, contentment is something that most of us struggle with on a day-to-day basis.
Very true, Dave. Yet the Lord wants us to learn the secret of contentment. So let's get right to it. Our text is Philippians chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 14 through 23.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, when I mention the word money, what do you think of? I think everyone has some type of a feeling towards money, right? Some type of an attitude or opinion, or it affects our days every day, right? It affects our lives completely. What do you think of when you think of money? As believers, I think what we think of money is really going to indicate pretty well where our walk with the Lord is. But it also can reveal those who maybe do not know the Lord based on how they think about or view finances. The Lord Jesus Himself said, you cannot serve two masters. You're either going to love one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and money or mammon. The reality is money is something that we all need in a sense because we all need to purchase food, to pay for rent or mortgage, whatever it might be, clothing. But yet the Lord God has said in His Word that we're not to seek those things. So we see we're not to be seeking or yearning or loving money. The Apostle Paul shared in 1 Timothy that those who desire even to go after it pierce themselves with many a pang. And yet we do need it. Well, what about security? Don't we want to feel good that we have enough money in the bank that we're secure until we retire or through retirement? Well, the reality is for believers, the Lord God wants to be our security. And it doesn't matter specifically our view of what we have and what we don't have. Now, I'm not saying we're not to be wise stewards. God is very clear about how we are to handle money. God is very clear about work and labor and those things. But how are we to handle money? Well, today we're going to see the last portion concerning the reality of contentment in Christ. And we're going to see that the last element of that, recognizing that we are enabled to do all things through Christ who strengthens us, is having a right viewpoint towards the body of Christ, and thus, within that, a right viewpoint towards finances. We're going to see and get a picture of biblical giving as the Apostle Paul lays forth his testimony concerning the gift that the Philippians had given him so graciously. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and we are, Lord willing, unless the Lord takes us all, or I die in the pulpit, Lord forbid that, we're going to finish Philippians today. And so be praying about what we'll do next time and what we'll be looking at, the next book. Most of you have been here, but I want to remind you of the context, tremendous, wonderful book that we've seen. The Apostle Paul thanking God and praising Him and praying for these Philippians, that they would just abound in their love and real discernment and knowledge. They would abound in that. And he has shared his love for them. He's so thankful. He is so confident that God will complete that good work that he has began. He's confident. And then within that, he has shared his circumstances, that he's in chains, and they know that. But although he's in chains, the gospel is not chained. And God has been using that difficulty for further progress of the gospel. And within that, we saw the Apostle Paul's attitude, being chained to a Roman soldier 24/7 with the possibility of going to his own death, that to live is Christ and to die is gain. But he seemed to understand, inspired by the Spirit, that he would continue on for the benefit of the body of Christ, for the benefit of these Philippians. And yet he shared that whether in life or death, that it was his desire for Christ to be glorified. And then he addressed the Philippians' attitudes, that they were to stand firm for the faith of the gospel. They're not to be shaken up by their opposition, which is a sign that their opposition is on their way to destruction. They are on their way to glory. They were to have the mindset of Christ concerning one another. They were to think of one another as more important than themselves. They were to be like-minded. They were to have unity in the Lord. And more specifically, they were to have the mind of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being found in the likeness of men. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's the mindset we are to have, which is seeing others as more important than ourselves in the context of our Lord. And within that, humbling ourselves to obey God in regards to one another. The Lord Jesus obeyed the Father's will all the way to the point of death. That's absolute humility we see, and his love manifest for us. And therefore, because of what Christ did, he was highly exalted back to his rightful place, visibly in a sense. He was always Lord of Lords, but visibly back to his rightful place. That ultimately every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Therefore, you and I are to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're to work it out. We're to work out what God is working in. If you're a true believer and God's word by his Spirit is working in your heart, we're then to obey it. We're to work it out. We're to accomplish, in a sense, what he has called us to do by his power and strength. But we're to do that with fear and trembling because God is at work in us. And we are commanded as believers to do all things without complaining and grumbling or disputing. We are not to do that. It is so contrary to trusting Jesus Christ. It is so contrary to humility before him. It is so contrary to seeing others as more important than yourself. We are to do all things without complaining and disputing. And then within that, we saw tremendous examples of three servants who emulated this. The Apostle Paul himself, Epaphroditus, which we'll look at in Timothy. And then in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul makes it clear he considers it right to remind us of things, that we should be rejoicing in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. But also, he's reminding them of the dangers to their faith in Jesus Christ. There are imposters out there. There are imposters. And the way you can identify them is that the imposters are the opposite of what the Apostle Paul manifests. He said, we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, not in their flesh, but the Spirit of God. Glory in Christ Jesus rather than in self or people, and put no confidence in the flesh. You never ever want to go to a church where your leaders put confidence in the flesh. You never ever want to be under anyone that does that, because it's an evidence that maybe they are not truly the Lord's. Paul says, we are the true circumcision. We don't do that. And for us as believers, that is the way we are to walk. We're to put no confidence in the flesh. But the Apostle Paul said, if anyone could have the religious qualifications to put confidence in flesh, I'm the guy. And he gives a list of all those things to which he could put confidence in, and he did. But when he came to Christ, or as Christ came to him on that road to Damascus that day, he then considered all those things as lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. He gained a relationship with the living God. And what was in the way? His own abilities, his own confidence in his own flesh. He had to die to himself by confessing that, by understanding it was all worthless. All that religious junk that he thought made him right before God was worthless. That he would be found in a righteousness not of his own, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And then he shared the reality that he and we should be pressing forward to the goal, not looking back, forgetting what lies behind. Oh, we have a problem with that, don't we? We so include the things that lie behind in the way we see people and the way we act, whatever it might be. The Apostle Paul didn't do that. He didn't forget it per se, but he didn't apply it to the reality of how he saw things. Forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward to that upward call in Christ Jesus, becoming like Jesus Christ. And then he told the Philippians and us that we should be imitators of him and those who walk like him. We should look at the way the Apostle Paul trusted Jesus and then acted upon that and imitate that in our hearts. And the reality is there are those who don't walk. There are those who used to pretend or maybe look like it, but now they're enemies of the cross, whose God is their desires or their appetites. That's their God, who set their mind on earthly things. Yes, we live in this earth and we do think about earthly things, but we as believers are to set our minds on the things above. The non-believer lives in the sphere of only thinking about this right here. We as believers are to set our minds on the things above, because we eagerly await a Savior who coming will transform us with the power that he has, will be glorified when he comes. And so we eagerly wait for him. Therefore, chapter 4, we should stand firm in the Lord. And then Paul begins to kind of close up things in this book as he shares how to address a little spat between two women who were serving the Lord. They were to be like-minded or think the same way. They were to live in harmony in the Lord. They were to do exactly what Paul had taught through this whole letter, that they would see others as more important than themselves. They would think like Christ, obey the Lord, even to their own detriment, which for Christ was death on the cross. You see, that's our problem. We're not willing to obey the Lord when things get tough. We want our way, or we want to feel better, whatever it might be. But true humility, as we see like in Jesus, obeys even to the point of death, as we see as his example. So with that in mind, we then came to how we can escape the trap of worry and anxiety. We're to let our forbearing spirit be known to all men. Let it shine forth as we are able to endure through difficulties in the midst of relationships, situations, whatever it might be. Because the Lord is near. He's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of those who are wrong. He's going to take care of all that. Maybe they'll get saved. That's our hope. But if not, he'll take care of it. The Lord is near. And then we saw so clearly the command that we are to be anxious for nothing. But in prayer, with supplication, through thanksgiving, be making our requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. We are to pray rather than worry. When we're tempted to worry, which we all are, we give it over to the Lord. We cast those cares. Lord, this is what's before me. I need your help. I'm asking you to help me understand your ways, to trust you in this. Lord, help me in this, whatever it might be. We make our requests known to him, and he promises to guard, garrison our hearts with a peace that you cannot comprehend. It's a promise. And then we saw we are to think of those things that bring glory and honor to God, those things that are worthy of praise. So much of what we think about is not worthy of praise. We think about the failures of others. We think about the failures of ourselves. We think about the situations around. We need to think about those things that are worthy of praise. We need to apply the truth of God's sovereignty and his love and his grace over those circumstances so that we see them from the right perspective. We're to think those whatevers, those things that give him glory and honor and praise. And then we are to accomplish those things. The things that we have heard and learned and seen in the Apostle Paul, we are to do what you have learned. If you've been in this church for a long time, you have learned a lot of truth. Apply it in your relationships. Apply it in your walk with Christ. Apply it. Do it by his power and strength. And then within that, we came to the beginning of the end of this passage. We saw the wonderful reality of what we're supposed to be doing as the Lord God graciously enables us to trust him. We saw, and we're going to look at today, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we'll review that in a moment. So with that in mind, how are we to be content in the midst of such difficulties? How is it that we do this? Well, today we're going to see if we have the right view of our finances in relationships to those in need, the body of Christ, that's one element that reveals we have learned how to trust Jesus Christ. We have learned how to walk in him. We have learned how to rest in him. Let's take a look at our passage. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 to 23. And as I said, Lord willing, we're going to finish Philippians today. Now, I want to back up to what we saw last week because we're going to review that first, and then we'll go into our passage. So let's start our reading back in verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly now that at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That's what we saw last week. Now our passage. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction, Paul is writing. And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's what we're going to look at right now, and then we'll finish with the greetings in the end. Now, if you'll remember, as I've just read, that those who are content are not driven by want. If you are driven by your desires, you are not content. If you are driven by your desire for peace, security, for finance, whatever it might be, if that is driving you, you are not content. Remember back in verse 10, Paul says, "But I rejoiced greatly that now, at least, you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity." Paul rejoices that the Philippians were concerned about him. They were thinking about him, literally. So concerned, they sent Epaphroditus 1,600 miles to bring a gift, a substantial gift, and to aid him while he was in prison. And at this point, Paul has to address the possibility of being misunderstood. You know, Satan gets in our mind at times. Not that he gets in us, but he tempts us. And even within the body of Christ, there's temptations to think wrongly about someone. And Paul has to qualify with these dear Philippians that he's not speaking from want. Notice what he says. He says just that. Not that I speak from want or according to want. Lest they misunderstand the Apostle Paul that he's just trying to butter them up for another gift, he makes clear his thankfulness and his rejoicing in the Lord is not based on need or want. And this brought us to our first point last week, that those who are truly content are not driven by their wants and desires. They're not driven by it. You have to trust the Lord, as we're going to see. You got to trust that He's going to take you through everything, that He's going to provide for you. You got to trust financially, as we're going to see today, that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. God will take care of you. If you see it all as His, if you trust Him, He's going to take care of you. So then, with that in mind, we came to the second thing we saw about contentment. We saw the secret of contentment. That the Apostle Paul had learned it through circumstances. He learned the secret of contentment through circumstances. Verse 11, not that I speak from want, for, this is an explanation, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret. He's learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, or Christ who strengthens me. He did nothing out of want. And this term contentment speaks of literally nothing from outside, all from the inside. And what does that mean? For a non-believer, it's the self-sufficient person. But for a believer, it's nothing from outside, but everything from Him. That's the contentment. That's contentment. And it brings a sense of peace and joy. It produces a happy state of mind. When you're content, there's joy. I'll tell you that right now. When you're content in the Lord. Now here, Paul says, not that I speak from want, but I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. True Christian contentment is learned in the crucible of circumstances. where we apply the Word of God to our circumstances and trust the Lord in those circumstances, He brings contentment and He teaches us that within them. And what was the context again? Circumstances. He says he has learned, middle of verse 12, in any and every circumstance, the things of me, in any and every things of me. Well, what are the things of you? That's your circumstances. The things of you. He's learned in any and every one. In every one. He's learned the secret. And we saw that term, the secret. It spoke of initiation into a cult religion, but he's changed it. He's sanctified the word. He's learned a secret. It's something that really is not manifest unless you go through circumstances and you apply the word of God to those circumstances. And boom, you learn the secret. And what's the secret? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I shared literally translated this, all things I'm continually given the ability to do or accomplish. All things he gives me the ability to do. The ability to endure hardship. No money, lots of money, whatever it might be. He gives me the ability to do it. Through him who strengthens me or empowers me. That's the secret. When you are following the Lord, he gives you the strength for whatever you need to do. He gives you the strength to endure through the difficulties. He gives you the strength to do what is right. He gives you the strength to think the right way. He gives you the strength. You learn the secret. It's all Christ. Paul learned in whatever circumstances he was in, as dictated by God's sovereign will, that as he abided in him and trusted in him, he would be empowered by Christ to do whatever he called him to do by his wonderful strengthening. I am given the ability to do all things in him who continually empowers me. That's the way we should see it. That's the secret. But again, I shared this caveat last week. It's not a blanket promise that you can do anything you want to do. It's anything and everything that he calls you to do. He says, do your work heartily unto the Lord and unto men. I can't do that. He gives you the power to do it. I've learned a secret, even in the midst of a bad job situation. He says, love your wives, respect your husbands. I can't do that. He gives you the power to do that in those situations. He says, serve with the strength that he supplies. He gives us the ability to do that. To teach his word, to give his very oracles. He does that. And we learn that in the midst of difficulty as we step out in faith. As we are truly resting in Christ, his word abiding in us, we abiding in him, he will empower us to do what he wants us to do. And if we have Christ, we have need truly of nothing. Whether we have nothing or whether we have everything.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, how should we respond to what you've taught us in this message?
Well, Dave, very simply, we need to apply to our hearts what we've heard. You see, Paul had learned the secret of contentment in the crucible of difficulty. He had learned to trust in the Lord and his sovereignty over circumstances and to rely on his empowerment to do anything and everything he called him to do. And thus he had learned the secret of contentment, which ultimately is Christ. So when we abide and trust in Christ and His Word in us, we learn and understand how great a God we have and how faithful He is, and we can rely and trust in Him, and that brings contentment in every circumstance we're willing to trust in Christ for. So with that in mind, are you abiding in Christ? Are you trusting in Him? He will empower you to do anything and everything He calls you to do. So what's the secret to contentment? It's Christ. Now on Monday, we begin a new series in the book of Ezekiel. So be reading ahead, and we look forward to sharing God's Word with you.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.